So we started this hour talking about the St. Louis Arch as a metaphor, about gateway moments, personal and collective. And I want to come full circle, back to bricks and mortar and stone and steel. Bob Hansman is a professor of architecture and of social justice. And really what he teaches is border crossings. Yesterday he took our staff on a tour, not of the Arch or Forest Park or the Mississippi River, but of what he calls the other St. Louis. Welcome, please, Bob Hansman and our own Steve Paulson.
Well, take me back to your own story. So you had been this up-and-coming artist, selling your work for a lot of money, and at a certain point, that wasn't working for you.
No. It was around that time I started working with the kids in the projects at Peabody. And at that point, it just completely changed my idea about what art might be for. If I could use art to help these kids in the projects sort of feel different about themselves, that was good. But I just couldn't do it for myself anymore. It was, I just couldn't justify doing drawings for people to hang on their walls when my kids downtown were dying.
So this was a rough neighborhood.
It was very rough. One of the kids was murdered the first week I was down there. It was mostly Bloods and Crips, mostly Bloods, more Bloods than Crips. And, I was also teaching at Wash U at the time. And I think that, at first, it was just cognitive dissonance, because I told people many times, I've got a binder in my office of the funeral notices of my children from downtown, and I don't have anything like that for my Wash U students. And right then, if you're a thinking person, you're going to start asking, why do my two groups of young people have such different pasts and presents and probably futures?
I have to put this in perspective. So during the day, your paid job is you're a professor of architecture at Washington University, one of the most elite colleges in the country. And then at night, you're going in, and you had moved into this area, right?
It was interesting because some of the most important things in my life I didn't decide to do. People decided that I should do them. And so I was actually invited to move into the projects by the moms in 96.
Did you feel weird, though? I mean, being this white guy moving into this black neighborhood?
No. I'm trying to say yes, but no. Because by then, I had discovered so much love down there. There was much more love than I was experiencing where I was living. And it just seemed like, well, this is the most logical, inevitable place to be.
You got very close to some of the kids that you were teaching. One of your kids ended up moving in with you. Tell us that story.
Sure did. It was funny because I did think it was going to crash and burn when I first went down there, right? Because I thought there were these obvious differences. But the kids convinced me those differences weren't as important as other people thought they were. And the third summer, a boy I was very, very close to, Jermaine, died of sickle cell. And one of the boys who was just lost without Jermaine, because we were both lost in our own way, asked if he could move in with me at my other place. And so at that point, Javon moved in with me, and it just evolved like that for a while. Javon stayed a couple days. After a couple more days, I said, it looks like you're going to be here a while. Do you want your own room?
And how old was Javon at the time?
About 14, something like that.
Javon, who is in the audience here.
He's over there. And after a few years, he just walked in the room one time and said, have you ever thought of adopting me? And I said, yes, I have, but I never brought it up because I didn't know how you felt. Well, that was it. Right? So he's my son now. I couldn't have asked for better.
He is now running the arts program that you started all those years ago.
He's now 36 years old. Amazed he's still alive, because a lot of his friends are not. The mortality rate is something that most people in this audience have never even considered. You know, Javon went to a funeral with me some years ago, one of my teachers who had died of old age, and it was, he said, it was almost beautiful because he'd never seen a funeral where somebody died of old age. So, yeah.
So you, something that you do in your job at Washington University as a professor there is you take a number of your students to certain neighborhoods of North St. Louis.
Yeah.
What are you trying to show these students? What are you hoping they understand?
A lot of things, but I think to some extent is to demystify and to actually unteach some of the things they've been taught. It's not a joke, really, but you know the kids talk about they take Bob's class and you go take us to all the places our parents told us never to go, right? And we fall in love, you know. And I tell my students, you know, don't ever be afraid to fall in love, especially in unexpected places, right? I mean, we've created these barriers, right? We simultaneously lament and respect these barriers. So this is funny because they'll go and they'll feel uncomfortable initially, right? What they don't realize is this is where I live. You know, this is where I worship. And so they'll be in the middle of some place that they're just totally frightened by. And suddenly the door will open and, you know, Reverend Davis will come out and go, "Brother Bob, is this your latest group of kids? Anybody need to use the bathroom? Come on in," right? And suddenly it's like quits becoming this issue and it becomes people. People.
So you talked earlier about love, about bringing more love into your own life. And maybe this sounds corny, but I'm wondering if there's, I mean, you know, dealing with these structural problems you've been talking about, dealing with inequality, with racial injustice, is there a way to bring love into this discussion that
that's
would actually...
It's the only thing that's going to help.
Well, tell me how.
Yeah. You know, I look at this sort of structural inequity that we've all kind of become used to. I mean, like, you know, like, we've kept my grandson in the city schools, right? But he has to bring in his own toilet paper to help stock the schools. So when, you know, so when we look at this structural injustice, I think we have two reactions I can think of. One is to challenge that structure, and the other is to make it work for us. I'm not gonna put my kid in that school. I'm not gonna buy property in that neighborhood. And that simply exacerbates the larger problem for everyone else that can't make those choices. Right? So I think about all the little things I do every day. You know, not big events. I always think about what are the habits, not the events. Because it's our daily habits that kind of tell us where our values really are. I no longer can divide my life into what I think is good and bad, but what has meaning and what doesn't have meaning. And some of the most difficult parts of my life were the parts that dragged me kicking and screaming into meaning and what it really means to be alive. So the lesson, it's funny, my students at the end of the course, they kind of go, "I think the whole point of this course was to make a friend." And I go, "Yeah, the last day of my course is devoted to love." And we say it in academia, you know, we say the word love. And I think if we could learn that and then act on it, you know, not just talk about love as a noun, but, you know, what's the verb? And how do you manifest that in your daily life? I think that's the key in getting back to falling in love in unexpected places, right?
Yeah.
If I hadn't crossed those borders, I wouldn't have a son, and Javon would not have a father.
Well, in our own experience, just sharing a few hours with you, traveling around the city, and then having this conversation, it's an honor and it's a privilege to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bob Hansman is a professor of architecture at Washington University. He's the founder of the City Faces Arts Program and also the subject of a new documentary film called Bob's Tour, directed by June Bay. And he was talking with Steve Paulson.